A look at the local high school sports scene, from coaches and athletes to a preview of this week's games. It's the Rudin Report on WICC. Now, your host, Dave Rudin.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Rudin Report Live. I'm Dave Rudin. As always, we got a really good show for you. We're never this year at an absence for topics, and another strange boys basketball week. A lot of parity, an undefeated team that keeps dodging bullets to remain undefeated. And coming up a little later, Ridgefield girls basketball coach Rob Coloni is going to join us. And I actually booked Rob for a reason we'll talk about when he comes on at the end. But the Tigers in the biggest game on Friday, girls basketball, they get a steal and a layup at the buzzer, and they beat Greenwich, which was unbeaten and number four in the state. So we're going to talk about that, and in particular the scouting reports that he puts together for the team. But let's start off with the boys, and joining me as always is Coach Mike Walsh. Mike, how you doing today?
Good morning, Dave. I'm doing fine. It seems like there's something in the water in Richfield. the girls win a close game, and the boys win a close game.
Yeah, and different patterns. And, hey, Mike, I think we can sum up the league in a couple of ways. Trumbull on Tuesday loses to Norwalk, which had not won a game in league play, and then comes back on Friday and beats Staples, which is number nine in the state. That's a little bit of a swing. We had only four teams go 2-0 during the week, as we have the log jam below the top four and the battle for the last five spots. It's crazy. It just keeps, and some of the finishes. You texted me. I'm at the Greenwich Ridgefield girls game, and you texted me with the final on Trumbull and that they won on a Sean Wilson shot at the buzzer. So I'm starting to tweet that, and I'm halfway through the tweet, and the next thing I know, Greenwich is turning the ball over, and the Ridgefield girls are winning. So I was like, okay, I had video of that. I have to post that. Then I'll get back to the boys' tweet, by which time you have another two or three surprise scores for me.
Yeah, there's so much that's going on. It's exciting, to be honest with you. A lot of evenly matched teams and several upsets. And I think that is what the FCX should be all about. It goes down to the fact that these kids are playing hard and they're getting after it. And, anybody can beat anybody in any given night, as you see with the Trumbull and Staples game. And Sean Wilson made an impossible shot. It was kind of fall away, almost a three-point shot.
Yeah.
At the buzzer to win it. But, again, this is the FCAC and this year, and this is what's happening.
Well, why don't we start at the very top? And I didn't think we were going to have an undefeated team, but we do. And even though it's not official yet, I feel safe to say Ridgefield, again, is going to be the regular season champion. Excuse me. And it's only a question of, will they be undefeated at the end? But I'll tell you what, if the winds are blowing the other way, they could be in fourth or fifth place right now.
Well, they weren't blowing the other way. And a lot of, I'd rather be lucky than good. And, I think that you make your own luck. And Andrew has been able to put together a team that kind of believes in themselves. And then when it comes down to crunch time, they seem to be fortunate enough to get it done. As you say, there were four times where, they could have gone the other way, but really, having seen all four of those games, they kind of made their own breaks and things went their own way. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, they've been there before, they've won championships before, and they have confidence in their ability. But again, you have to make it happen. And the kid made the last second shot against St. Joe's, against Greenwich. they caused a defensive travel in the lane. Defensively played great and caused a travel in the lane, and what would be the winning shot against them was nullified by the traveling call. And against West Hill missed a big free throw, and they came down and hit the shot. Everything seems to go their way. Now, I'm sure they're hoping that continues in the playoffs, but there's still a lot of basketball to be played, and a lot of things could happen.
Yeah, I got into my car, and I'm driving home from Greenwich. You already had sent me a whole bunch of the upsets, and not the first thing you say to me is Ridgefield's up by one, but Greenwich has the ball. And you're giving me play-by-play, and the first thing, okay, kid's driving. Oh, the ball's good. And of course, oh, no, he's called for traveling. And I knew after you said the shot's good, something else was going to come. It was apropos of the way Ridgefield season went that there was a traveling call. And, again, a good defensive play. You're right, Ridgefield, they could easily be in fourth place right now, but good teams make plays at the end of games to win, and you just kind of wonder. I'm wondering at Ridgefield if they've been laughing at us all year. Go ahead, keep picking staples, keep knocking us, keep finding faults with us. We're just gonna keep winning, and we're gonna win another regular season title. This will be the strangest undefeated season in league history if Ridgefield wins out, and they're going to go into the last game of the regular season against Staples, and that game on one hand has lost some luster because Staples getting upset Friday. Now they're two games behind. That game's not going to be for the top seed. The top seed is not important this year, whether you finish first or second. I don't think it really makes that big a difference, but it's still a feather in your cap to win the regular season title. That's the first thing you want to do. And you just look at the games this week against Greenwich. They had four guys in double figures. Drew will take that. That's what he loves to see. I think the top scorer had two guys had either 12 or 13 points. He'll take four guys in double figures every day of the week. And then one of the guys who wasn't in double figures, Humphrey, leads the team in scoring on Tuesday night. They just find ways to win.
No, there's no question about that. And I'm sure that although they may win the regular season title this year, which they've done the past couple of years, they'd rather win an FCAC championship. And I think that there are several teams that stand in their way, and one of them is Staples. I think if Staples puts it all together and are healthy, I think that's going to be some game. Like you say, the regular season end of the year game kind of has lost some of its luster, but when they get to Wilton in the semifinals or the finals, I'm sure there'll be a battle, and I'm sure that Ridgefield remembers that Staples has knocked them off the last couple of years. And, but who knows if they're both going to get there, especially the way things are going in the league this year.
And one thing, an element, and I teased to this on Twitter, I shouldn't have waited this long, but I said I had some injury news. Staples scoring leader and player of the year candidate Sam Klocko, against St. Bernard last Saturday, suffered a sprained wrist, and he's going to be game to game. I think he may sit out. I'm sure he's not going to play tomorrow, and they may give him a week off to get him healthy, but that explains some things. He only took five shots against Ludlow on Tuesday night. I was at that game. And then you look, and he was 1-for-8 against Trumbull. So I know Trumbull played a triangle and two. Two teams play triangle and twos and to beat Staples, but that's that actually is the key. And then Bowman also sprained his ankle on Friday night, and they don't know how long he's going to be out. So That's two big blows for Staples right now.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree. Injuries are part of it, but when you lose Sam Klatchko, that's a big injury, and it kind of explains why he only had 2 points against Trumbull. And not to take anything away from Trumbull, it was a great win, and Sean Wilson made a great shot. But you know, when your best player is injured a little bit, you know, that kind of takes a little bit away. But again, hopefully they're all healthy, and the end of the season comes and we're in the playoffs. But who's going to be in the playoffs with Staples and Richfield and probably Ward and Ludlow? You know, to me, it's a huge question mark.
Well, you kind of teased to where I want to go next, so this is the perfect time to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to look at down below, and I should get a sponsor to give $1,000 to anybody who ends up picking the 5-8 seeds correctly. But we'll take a break right here. You're listening to the Rudin Report Live on WICC.
Teams, athletes, coaches, and everything that makes local high school sports great. Now, back to the Rudin Report on WICC with Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're back. We're kind of jumping around the league, and why don't we drop down from number one and the top four teams, and Ludlow beat Stanford on Friday night in a game we talked about last week that was going to be important. So the Falcons, a good bounce-back win, and they now have a two-game lead over the – we'll call them the pack there, because we have four teams that are 6-5, two that are 5-6, and three that are kind of dangling after a couple of losses this past week at 4-7. But I'll tell you, the fifth seed's going to be Greenwich, or it's going to be McMahon, or it's going to be New Canaan, or it's going to be Trumbull. I'll take my bet. It's going to be one of those four teams. that's about as sure as I feel on anything 5, 6, 7, 8.
Well, possible, but there are a lot of things that could happen in between. By the way, I have to give Ludlow an awful lot of credit for the way they did bounce back against Stanford.
Yeah, you watched that game, and you have some feelings a little bit, particularly about Stanford, I know.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, Stanford is talented, but haven't been able to put it together. And basically, Ludlow just, you know, took them apart and kind of embarrassed them. I think that, and they did it with Torello only scoring 11 points and Mahoney 7. And I think John Daly's secret weapon now is Carlo Neuecker. He had 20 points. I don't remember Carlo at all. I'm sure he's an important part of the team. And Lorenzo Stabellini had 11. So he's getting scoring from other people. So that was a huge win, puts him in great playoff position. And it also hurts Stanford, I think, as far as that's concerned. But again, they're not out of it yet, I don't think. It looks to me like you have to win 8 games and it's going to get you in. And looking at the schedule of the teams that we talked about, you know, none of them have real easy schedules. I think the most favorable schedule is probably Greenwich, but you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, they play Norwalk, West Hill, Ward, and end up with McMahon, which could be a big game at the end. New Canaan, I think they have to win 2 out of their 4, and they have St. Joe's, Richfield, Danbury, and Trumbull. Trumbull, you know, I think they're going to make it. They need 2 more. They have Richfield, Ludlow, West Hill, and New Canaan. Again, it's not easy. McMahon has probably the toughest schedule. They play Wilton, Ward, not Darien and Greenwich. This is really going to come down to the last night, Dave. We're all going to be sitting around saying he beat who and who beat this, and it's going to be tough. In Stanford High, they actually, you know, they have to win. I think they have, 4 or 5 wins they have. And they have to win 3 more, and they have Ward, Norwalk, Wilton, and St. Joe's.
They're all basically Wilton, everybody's still playing everybody. And you, I like to be home watching everything and kind of being a command central for the last game of the regular season. And I figured I was going to have to go up to Ridgefield Staples, but that's not a must-see game for me anymore. So I'll decide that week, but I may be able to get away with staying at home and monitoring everything. And like we talked about, you're going to have, it's not just going to be the game between the two favorites, but it's going to be everywhere else. I just want to talk a little bit about Brian McMahon, and I have not seen them yet. I will this week. I'm going to go see them against Wilton on Tuesday night. Fortunately, I think the forecast is more favorable, and everybody moved their games from Tuesday to Monday except for Wilton and McMahon, and I'm hoping the weather holds so that I'll be able to. I'm going to go to Trumbull Ridgefield tomorrow night. But first of all, this was probably – beats out the half-court shot for play of the year. But what McMahon did on Tuesday night to come away with a 51-50 win over Central, they inbound 2 seconds to go, and they're inbounding the ball from underneath their own basket. So you figure in somebody's going to have to make at closest a half-court shot. And Cam Rice, who as good a pass as you're going to make. Unfortunately, he had an all-state wide receiver on the other end. It looked like a football play. And you have Jermell Bynum, who is a speedster. He actually announced the day after that he's going to go play football at Rhode Island next year. But he sort of makes a cut and then goes deep towards the basket. Rice hits him in stride. And for 2 seconds to go, you get a layup. Have you ever seen anybody... It reminded me we're really dating ourselves now. It's almost like the end of the U.S. Russia Olympic game back in 72. But I don't remember anybody ever. I don't remember a long inbounds pass. It was closer than Christian Laettner. It was a better pass than the one to Christian Laettner, which was an unbelievable pass.
Well, it was almost like Sam Burrell when he hit Tate George for the championship at. One of the championship games at UConn. I remember that one. But this was even more impressive in that there were 2 seconds. And I know a lot of armchair coaches are saying, well, what kind of defense was that? But the pass was perfect, laid it into his hands, and he just laid it right up. I mean, the great kudos for making the shot. But I don't know, Cam Rice maybe ought to go to Rhode Island and be the quarterback and throw that pass.
I was thinking the same. I'll tell you what, they could do that play in practice with no defenders, and I don't know that they would do it any better.
No question. No question about it. It was an amazing thing to see and very disappointing for Central because it really kind of didn't eliminate them totally, but gave McMahon a leg up in the playoff race.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the play, go on Rudin Report Instagram. I have the play from two different angles. And it's the funny thing, too, is the first angle is perfect, except for as Bynum is going up for the layup, all of a sudden you kind of lose. You don't see the ball go in the basket, and there's kind of like a herky-jerk motion. And then I found out, I talked to Joe Leprad, the McMahon coach, after. It was Rice's mom who took the video. So as soon as the pass, he's going for a layup. She's, I think, half cheering, half trying to catch the play. So that's why you don't actually see the ball go into the basket on that. But, McMahon is coming on. And then, they have that great win. And then they go play St. Joseph. And I think this was the highest scoring game of the regular season, not going into overtime. But they come back and they beat St. Joseph 92-86, and they have 5 guys in double figures. Senators are they don't have height, but they're really, really fast and speedy. And as Joe said to me when I spoke to him, we're going to give teams that don't have a point guard a lot of trouble or don't handle the ball well. And they're an intriguing team to me. Them and Greenwich are the two teams I haven't seen, and I kind of owe the Greenwich people an apology. Somebody I know, somebody got mad at me because I said on the show last week I was going to go visit whoever won Greenwich Stanford. I was going to go see that team play Friday. I kind of forgot that the Greenwich Ridgefield girls was going to be for first place in the division. So that's the only reason I didn't go see Greenwich. But I want to go see both those teams.
Yeah, I know you like McMahon, and I think McMahon is a really good chance for the playoffs. But I like Greenwich. They're feisty. They have the kid Maloney who's good, but they're getting some more scoring from two other players there.
Sandra Scott's been playing really well of late.
Yeah. And they have no walk on Monday, and then they go to their home against West Hill. Those are two games where you have to give them the edge, which brings them to 8 wins right away. Then they got
if they win out this week, they're in.
Yeah, I think so. And the way they've been playing, I think they've been getting a great coaching job. And I know we really haven't been talking about it too much, but Bill Brim, who I think is back now, but his assistant Bill Murphy has been kind of running the show for Greenwich, and he's done a great job. Beginning of the year, no one picked Greenwich to do anything. And here they are fighting and maybe probably making the playoffs. And I agree with you, McMahon. They're exciting to watch. They play hard. They pressure. They run again. It's going to be – they play each other the last game of the season, which should be interesting. It may mean for playoff positions.
That could be a bigger game than Ridgefield Staples.
Oh, especially since Richfield kind of has got the regular season. Well, I don't know. Andrew doesn't want me to jinx them, but they kind of have the regular season schedule title in hand.
That game actually could have meaning in terms of for second or third place. If Staples and Ward went out until then, they're tied right now. So if Richfield beats Staples, Staples could actually drop to 3 seed.
That's possible. Although when healthy, I think they are a better team than Ward. But
they beat them by 23 points. Right.
So, you don't know. Ward is a funny team. They always seem to come out on top. But they gave up 75 points to a Darien team that usually doesn't score that much, including 18 three-pointers.
That was the other weird thing we haven't gotten to. Have you ever remember a team make 18 three-point shots and not win?
Not really. It's kind of like, wow, I didn't believe it until I read it. And 18 three-pointers and lose by 10. Of course, the other, again, I think that Ford or Ward is very good in the offensive. They can score. I mean, Kramer's tough. Last night they actually played Bunnell, and Aiden Shea had 30 points. Obviously you can't count them out. I think that they're right there at 2 and 3, and Ludlow at 4. But I'll tell you, this 5 through 8, whoever's going to make it is it's going to be really, really interesting.
This is actually I did my state poll. And this is the first time all year I put 3 FCAC teams. Because of the Bunnell win, I put Ward in at number 15. But I haven't there are a lot of weeks early on. I only had one team in there. But I had Ridgefield, Staples, and Ward all in there. I didn't have any of them in the top 10. I had I had them between 10 and 15. But we'll see. I want to see how the FCAC does once we get to the state tournament. The certainly Staples game with St. Bernard bodes well. But why don't we take a break here? And when we come back, we'll take a final look around the league, look a little bit to the week ahead. And then Rob Coloni is going to be joining me at the end of the show. You're listening to the Rudin Report Live on WICC.
He knows everything you need to know about local high school sports. Back to the Rudin Report with Dave Rudin on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
continue, Mike, bouncing around a little bit. The team that to me has almost been like the definition of a 500 team and kind of bounces around has been New Canaan. And New Canaan started the week with a six-point loss to a streaking West Hill team, which then lost by 17 points to a Wilton team that played itself back into contention with two wins this past week. But New Canaan bounced back and held Bridgeport Central to 32 points in a 47-32 win. The best thing for the Rams, they hold their schedule, they hold their fate in their own hands, and you can't ask for anything more than that.
No, I agree, and I think that the big thing with New Canaan, in my opinion, is when they're at home, they're tough to beat, or they're going to give you a battle. They do have, if I'm not mistaken, St. Joe's at home on Tuesday, and then they also have Danbury at home and finish with Trumbull at home. So I think that will help them. If they win two of those, I think they're going to make the playoffs with eight wins. So, I mean, yeah, I thought it was a big win for them against Central, an athletic team. And they played good defense. And, you know, I hate to harp on the football thing, but they know how to – they want to win. And they know how to win. And Danny puts them together. And, you know, they're going to be have a great shot at making the playoffs. Wilton, on the other hand, Joel, again, does a great job with his team. He played a straight 3-2 zone, it looked like, to me, in the last game against a team, West Hill, which has struggled against the zone. They took and then playing at West Wilton is tough, and West Hill kind of had their train derailed by the Warriors at Wilton. So, I mean, again, I think you're going to see the Wilton McMahon game on Tuesday. Is that correct?
I'm going to go to Wilton McMahon, and then Thursday, I don't know yet where I'm going to go. McMahon plays Ward, and Trumbull plays New Canaan. So I don't know. I'm going to probably wait and see what happens the next 2 days. Both games are really intriguing. I really want to see McMahon. If the game should some reason get snowed out Tuesday, I probably would go to McMahon for certain on Thursday just to get a chance to see them. But that Trumbull-New Canaan game, we're 2 weeks ago where Trumbull was our definite number five. Last week they lose twice and we're kind of writing them off a little bit. And then certainly after they lost to Norwalk, and I'm thinking, boy, you know, they just gone from being so resilient without Ryan Johnston to kind of struggling now. And then they bounce back and beat Staples on that. You described it, Sean Wilson. That was like a fade away from just inside the 3-point line. New Canaan can win in a variety of ways. The Central game, they didn't have one player in double figures, but they still won. They had like about five guys that had between 6 and 9 points. And when you hold the team to 32, you're not asking a lot of your offense. It makes it a lot easier. And, you know, that's a team that just they don't cheat Danny out of a second to hustle. They play hard all the time. And, you know, they've rarely really underachieved. I think they're pretty much doing what we expected them to do. We didn't think they were going to just kind of run away and be a top four seed. But they've so far been one of the best of those next group of teams.
Well, I agree with you, except that I think their home court advantage means an awful lot to them. But and that's a good thing too. You got to take care of your home court. You're going to see Trumbull and Richfield on Monday.
I want to see that game tomorrow. I had that already. That game I had already planned to see because it was the only game. It was supposed to be the only game tomorrow, but now everybody moved their games from Tuesday to Monday. And I still think that I've only seen we've covered them a few times, but I've only seen Ridgefield once. So I definitely want to go see them again. And like I said, I had New Canaan and St. Joseph as a possible. for Tuesday. But McMahon Wilton, to me, I'm guessing most of the games I'm going to go to the rest of the year, I'm not really going to be seeing top four teams. I'm going to be going to games where this group of seven are playing each other, because they're really the most important games right now.
No question. They're like playoff games to get into the playoffs. You know, I didn't pick the Richfield-Trumbull game. It's a tall order for Trumbull. I know that, you know, they've been battling people and playing tough. But to go to Richfield, you know, see, the one thing Richfield has, and I think we even talked about a little bit, they have come along where they have all their players healthy, and they have a solid five, I think, SARS, with Alex Hickey and John Peter Stefanovic and Joseph Humphrey and Reed Murray. And the sophomore has meant a lot to him, Jason Genova. So for Trumbull, is going to have to get pretty fortunate, I think, to beat them up in Richfield. But
games at Trumbull.
Oh, it's at Trumbull.
It's
okay.
At Trumbull.
All right. That might help them a little bit, but I'm not so sure it'll help them enough. I think the big game, not the big game, but one of the playoff contending games would be Stanford High against Ward. And that is Monday or Tuesday?
I think that got moved to Monday.
Okay.
They got moved.
Stanford High is in survival mode right now. And Ward,
Ward's already in.
I understand that, but
yeah.
What I'm saying is...
To me, it's this Trumbull-Ridgefield game is a more interesting game.
Yeah, maybe. But again, as far as playoff position and survival, I think Stanford High needs to win that one.
So does Trumbull. Trumbull needs to win against Ridgefield. Trumbull's been all over the place.
Yeah, but Trumbull has six wins. And Trumbull has, Richfield, Ludlow,
I need to see Stanford. Stanford's, is slumping. I need to see Stanford do a little something to kind of get back into firmer contention.
I agree.
I'm more intrigued by Ridgefield and Trumbull. And like I said, I've only seen Ridgefield in person once. So anyhow, I don't want to talk about the Ridgefield boys. I want to talk about the Ridgefield girls. So I'm getting rid of you for the rest of the show. I want to talk about my Lady Tigers and the big win. So Mike, we're going to take a break. I'm going to let you have the rest of the show off. You're only getting three quarters pay here for the second half of the season here. You've been getting a lot of breaks here, but I will if we don't talk before, I'll call you on my ride home from Trumbull and tomorrow and find out everything that's taking place.
Sounds good, and good luck with Rob and the girls.
Okay. That was Mike Walsh. We're going to take our final break here, and then joining me on the other side, Ridgefield girls basketball coach Rob Coloni. You're listening to the Rudin Report live on WICC.
Fall high school sports lives right here on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut. Now, back to the Rudin Report and your host, Dave Rudin.
Okay, we're going to finish up. We're going to make the jump from boys to girls basketball in what's been in many respects, a more interesting league than the boys, especially at the top of the standings. And just to prove I'm all-knowing, I booked my current guest before Friday night, set this up for Thursday for something that we're going to talk about. And then he goes out with his girls in a tremendous final four-minute stretch and beats the number one team in the FCAC, undefeated Greenwich, number four in the state. And that's Ridgefield, and Rob Coloni's the coach, and he's with me right now. Rob, how you doing?
Hey, Dave, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
No, thanks for coming on. First of all, I saw a picture yesterday, you were doing, I don't know if it was a fundraiser or the team was having bagels in Ridgefield. I hope nobody had to pay for their bagels, and I hope Ava Gernert got a second bagel.
Yeah, well, we're fortunate to live in a community that does so much for the high school students and really the entire youth community. And Fletcher's Bagels is a place that opened in 2023, and they graciously have done a fundraiser for the girls basketball team for this entire weekend. So I actually, my parents are here from New Jersey, and we just got back from Fletcher's, so I went twice this weekend. And yes, we took the team there yesterday. So it was great. The girls did not have to pay for their bagels.
Give me a couple everything bagels and give them to Drew, and he can bring them down to me to Trumbull tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Let's talk about the game first of all. Your girls just hung around. There were three occasions where it looked like Greenwich was going to make the knockout punch, and your girls were on the ropes, and they just refused to go down. You're down 9 points with 4 minutes to go in the game, and then your defense just pitches a shutout the rest of the way. Your girls put them in the position to win the game, and then Ava Gernert makes a steal layup at the buzzer, and you guys are celebrating your biggest win of the year.
Yeah, great environment, great atmosphere, great high school basketball game, two really good teams, and our credit goes to the kids. Like they, like you said, just super resilient and composed. Like I told you after the game, I think that is not only a testament to the kids that we have and their passion and their work ethic, but also to the fact that they're battle tested. You know, we scheduled a really difficult non-conference slate, five challenging games all in December, all of them on the road. And so that is what you want to do in my mind as a coach, is put your team through those challenging moments so that they are ready when the lights are brightest and the games mean the most as the season hits February and March. And so really proud of them. But there's a lot more work still left to do. So, you know, I always say this on the other side of things, like, if you lose, basketball is great because it's an imperfect game and you get an opportunity to get back out there 2 or 3 days later. But when you win, you have to do the same thing. And so, you know, we have four formidable opponents on the horizon before the FCAC tournament. And so we're focused on Trumbull right now, but certainly Friday night after the game, you know, took some time to enjoy that win for sure.
Your boys' coach does the same thing. I love coaches that set that when they know their team can handle it and can be a contender, that has the really tough non-league schedule, because you're willing to sacrifice a possible loss or two and maybe drop down a couple of spots if you should lose in seedings in the state playoffs. But what you gain from having played those difficult games are going to aid you in the postseason. So I love when coaches do that. The thing I love, and it was the second time I've seen you beat a good opponent, Stanford, earlier in the season. And you look at your team, and some of the other girls' teams are flourishing with 25-point scorers, and you don't have that on your team. You have a balanced Zoe Damaris leading the team in scoring. But you guys are just play like a true team, and you look at each of your players – and maybe you're not absolutely wowed, but you just watch the way the team plays together, and your team has as good a chemistry as any team I've seen, boys or girls, in the FCAC this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think team, right? Like, I think that's something that we in Ridgefield pride ourselves on. I have so much respect and admiration for the effort that our entire program puts forth from our JV kids all the way through the top. And I think we have, thanks to the wonderful kids that we have, fostered this sense of belonging and togetherness. And that goes a long way. And I think beyond wins and losses or banners or any of that stuff, that's what we're trying to accomplish here. Trying to give these young women an experience that they'll remember for the rest of their lives, that they can forge positive relationships with their teammates and understand how to overcome challenging moments, and appreciating when hard work pays off. I think I said to you after the game the other day, like, you know, we can be prepared or we can be reactive. And it's a lot better to be prepared because then, you know, you're down 9 with 4 minutes left and you're not panicked. Or even at the end of the game, like, just an interesting moment. You know, I think we're down 5. We score a bucket. We call a timeout. We're down 3. There's like a minute left. I explained to the kids, like, look, we have 3 timeouts. We have the possession arrow. So we're going to look to get a 5-second call. If we don't get that, we're going to look to get a steal. If we don't get that, we're going to look to get a tie up. If we don't get that, we're going to look to get a 10-second call. If we don't get that, then we're going to start to foul because we had only had 2 fouls. And so we have to do that quickly because when the shot clock resets, we don't want Greenwich to be able to run the clock out. So coming out of that timeout, Greenwich threw the ball into the backcourt. We took it. We scored. So now we're down 1. Call another timeout. Same exact thing, but now we have less time. And then we unfortunately threw the ball away. So it was hectic at the end there. And we were fortunate that, you know, we're trying to get a foul on the sideline and, you know, just forced a turnover instead. So it was definitely not how we drew it up. Like, I'm sure if people are basketball people watching at home, they're like, oh, this guy, why didn't he call a timeout or why didn't he foul? And, you know, those things happen really quickly. So we had discussed those things and, but really my point in that entire summation is just, you know, when the team is together and there is that chemistry and they're prepared, there's not time to panic. You know, you just trust your preparation and you go and win or lose. I thought it was a great final 4 minutes for us and, kind of showed who we are and what our identity is. But, you know, like I said, I think turning the page now, a super talented and incredibly well-coached Trumbull team coming in. And then we finished with 3 games on the road. Darien, who's played a number of close games of late. We have to go to New Canaan, who beat us in the FCX semifinals last year. And then we end at Staples, who has a new coach, and they've had some impressive games of late, too. So it doesn't get any easier. Every game in this league is challenging. But I love the fact that we get to show up every day with the kids that we have because it makes my life, you know, easier. And I'm just really blessed to have them. And, you know, they've been wonderful. So
we only have like about 2 minutes left. And I really wanted to talk about this a lot more. And I'm going to have to give you back. I'm going to write a story on this week because it's so notable. But the reason I asked you on, not knowing what was going to happen Friday, is you put together, you talk about a team being prepared, and I talk about how a good coach can make a difference in the outcome. You give your kids, and I just got locked out of what you sent me, but you give your kids had a 9-page scouting report on Greenwich from everything from a rundown on each player to their shooting percentage from different parts to the court to what you guys wanted to do to different stats. If no team could be better prepared for an opponent than you guys are based on what you put together with the scouting report.
It's kind of you to say. I think a lot of coaches probably prepare in their own way. I think my thought process in delivering those is just, you know, I have an accountability and a responsibility to do everything I can to make our kids feel prepared, to make them more comfortable, to give them as much of an edge as I can. Like I said, I think a lot of coaches probably do that. And for us, it's just something that I've always done. So when I was an assistant in Wilton, that was kind of my job. And, you know, I take it very seriously. And I think any kind of preparation or advantage that you can try to give your players so that when they get there, they can just play and all of this stuff is almost second nature is, you know, really critical. And so it's a lot of work, but we prepare for every team the same way. It doesn't have to just be the number 4 team in the state. You know, we are authentic in the way that we respect and trust and prepare for our opponents. And so, yeah, that's something that we do. You know, that's in our DNA and the kids expect it and respond to it. And I can't imagine not doing it for any game, any opponent, any circumstance. You know, it's a time consuming process, but it is it's something that we really really like to do and has helped us.
Okay, well, Rob, I'm sorry we can't talk about this more. That's what happens when you beat the number four team in the state. But thanks for joining me. We're going to have a story on this, and I'm going to have Rob back.